Welcome to the deep dive. We're jumping into some source material one of you shared, exploring what can feel like two different worlds, right? Faith and finances.
Yeah.
And this material, it really looks at bringing them together through something it calls godly wisdom.
It's such a relevant topic, isn't it? Because money is just, well, it's part of everyday life. So practical.
Right.
And faith, sometimes that feels like it's in a totally different category. This source seems to acknowledge that right up front.
It does. And, you know, talking about money can be so awkward sometimes.
Especially, yeah, maybe in faith context.
Definitely. So our goal with this deep dive is really to unpack the key ideas from this material, see how it suggests faith can actually inform and, well, guide our financial decisions.
Moving them out of separate boxes, Brad.
Exactly. We want to find the, you know, the interesting points, the practical bits you can actually use.
Let's get into it.
Okay, so where does this source start? It kicks off by looking at that tension we mentioned. You know, on one hand, you might hear things like, money is the root of all evil, or it's just too worldly for serious faith.
Right, almost like it's inherently suspect.
And then on the other hand, sometimes you see these extremes where, like, having lots of money is presented as the main sign of God's blessing. Big money equals big faith, sort of.
Yeah, those two poles. And what's really interesting is how the source responds to that. It argues that this whole tension, it's not really how it's meant to be, according to this perspective.
Oh, so.
It suggests the opposite, actually, that God designed systems for, well, provision, for stewardship, even for financial growth.
So it's reframing money itself.
Exactly. Not inherently good or bad, but a tool, something meant to be managed within a specific faith-based framework. The problem isn't the cash, it's how we approach it.
That's a pretty significant shift in perspective right there. And the source says a core issue that comes from that tension is that we often just keep faith and finances totally separate.
Yeah, like we trust God for, I don't know, spiritual guidance or maybe in a crisis.
The big stuff.
But the day-to-day budget, deciding whether to buy something, paying the bills, that often feels like it's just on us, our own problem to solve.
Totally. And the source asks this really pointed question directed right at you, the listener.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Have you ever made a financial decision, maybe a big one, maybe small, and then prayed about it afterwards?
Instead of before.
Ooh, yeah, exactly. It's simple, but it really makes you stop and think, like, where does God fit into my actual real-time money choices?
That question definitely hits home. And this source connects that idea directly to a well-known passage in Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart.
And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him.
And he will direct your paths.
Yeah. And the source makes the point really clearly. All your ways includes your finances, your financial path.
So it's not just about hoping God fixes things after we mess up financially.
No, it's about inviting that guidance before the decision is even made, proactively.
Okay, so if separating faith and finances is the problem, what's the solution, according to this source? It talks about godly wisdom in money.
Right. And it's quick to clarify, this wisdom isn't really about how much money you have. It's not about being wealthy.
Not about the dollar amount.
No. It's about how you handle it, how you prioritize, how you honor God with whatever resources you've been given responsibility for, big or small.
Okay, so let's break that down. What makes up this godly wisdom according to the material?
Well, the first element it pulls out is discipline.
Discipline.
Okay.
Like budgeting.
Exactly. Planning, budgeting. It actually links this to Proverbs 21.5, which says something like, the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance.
So planning isn't just like a good practical tip.
From this viewpoint, it's more than that. It's framed as an act of wisdom. Diligence. Budgeting is important. And the source even highlights that saying no to some spending is part of that discipline.
Saying no is definitely hard sometimes. Requires real discipline. Okay, what's next after discipline?
Stewardship.
Stewardship. I've heard that term. What does it mean in this context?
Well, according to this source, it's tied really closely to faithfulness. It uses a verse from Luke chapter 16, verse 11. If you are not faithful with worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? The source interprets this as saying how we handle the everyday practical stuff, like our money, is actually a reflection. It shows how faithful we might be in, well, bigger things, both spiritual and practical.
Wow. So managing my budget could be seen as connected to deeper character issues, like trustworthiness.
That's the implication here, yeah. It adds a layer of significance to those daily choices.
Okay, that's discipline and stewardship. What's the third component?
Generosity.
Ah, okay.
Giving back.
Yes. The source is really clear that this wisdom isn't just about managing your own stuff for your own benefit or security. Giving is presented as like a fundamental part of it.
Not just an add-on if you have extra.
No, it seems woven in. It quotes Proverbs 11:25, "A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed." Generosity is part of the flow of this wisdom. Okay, so discipline, stewardship, generosity. Those are the pillars of this godly wisdom the source describes. And after laying that out, it asks another one of those really direct questions.
Mm-hmm.
Are you managing your money from a place of fear or from a place of faith?
Yeah, that one gets right down to the motivation, doesn't it? Are you constantly worried about not having enough?
Yeah.
Is that what drives your decisions?
Mm-hmm.
Or is there a foundational trust that actually allows you to plan carefully, manage faithfully, and be generous?
That word trust seems really key here. The source appears to emphasize trust quite a bit.
It absolutely does. Kind of points out this common pattern.
Mm-hmm.
People often trust God in the big financial emergencies.
Right, the crisis moments. Lord, help me pay this bill.
Exactly, that desperate prayer when things go wrong. But the source suggests it's maybe less common to bring that same level of trust into the proactive everyday stuff.
Like asking, God, how should I actually spend this paycheck wisely, or should I save for this goal?
Precisely. That difference between reactive trust in a crisis and proactive trust in the daily grind.
That's a really helpful distinction. So what does that proactive everyday trust look like practically, according to this material?
It suggests a few things, like praying about your finances regularly, not just when you're in trouble.
Making it a habit.
Yeah. And actively inviting God into your financial goals, saving, getting out of debt, planning your giving. Also, listening for what it calls spiritual checks.
Spiritual checks. What are those?
You know, those little nudges, maybe a feeling of unease or a sudden thought that makes you pause before you make an impulse buy.
Like your conscience or intuition, maybe?
Sort of, but framed as potentially God's prompting. And finally, learning to wait with peace instead of rushing into financial decisions out of fear or anxiety.
That sounds, well, a lot less stressful than just winging it and hoping for the best.
Definitely a different approach. And it links this to Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act.
Commit your financial way, too.
That's the idea. But, and this is important, the source clarifies that trust doesn't mean you just sit back and do nothing.
Right. It's not passive.
No. It means you still act wisely. You make the budget, you research the purchase, you work diligently. But you do all that while depending on God's timing and guidance, not just relying on your own smarts or worrying constantly.
So it's a partnership almost, responsibility and reliance.
That's a good way to put it. And then the source asks that challenging question again, aimed right at you. Are you trusting him with your bank account or only with your prayers?
Yeah, that really forces you to think about where trust becomes tangible.
Does it translate from just words in a prayer into how you actually handle your debit card?
Okay, so we've got the problem identified, separating faith and finance. The proposed solution, this idea of godly wisdom built on discipline, stewardship, generosity, and the foundation trust. How does the source say we actually do this? It gets practical, right? With specific habits.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah?
It lays out five specific God-first financial habits it recommends.
Okay, what's the first one?
Number one is budget with biblical principles.
All right. And does it say how to do that? Like, what makes a budget biblical?
The key thing here is the order it suggests. It recommends give first, save second, and then live on the rest.
Give first. Wow, that's countercultural. Most people probably pay bills first.
It is. And the source connects this approach to Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. The idea is that prioritizing giving and saving is a practical way to put God's kingdom first in your financial life.
Interesting. Okay. Give first, save second, live on the rest. What's habit number two?
Avoid impulse buying.
Easier said than done sometimes. Any tips from the source on that?
Yeah. A simple but powerful one. Pause and pray.
Just stop before you buy.
Yeah. Before you click buy now or head to the checkout, train yourself to pause. And in that pause, ask yourself some questions like, is this really a need or is it just a want? Does this align with where I feel called or is it just keeping up with trends?
Checking your motivation.
Exactly. And remember those spiritual checks we talked about? Mm. This pause is where you'd listen for that. That sense of peace or maybe that feeling of unease about the purchase.
Makes sense. Just building in a moment of reflection. Okay, habit three.
Pay down debt strategically.
Okay, getting out of debt, that's a big one for many people.
Huge. And the source uses pretty strong language here. It quotes Proverbs 22, verse 7. The borrower is slave to the lender.
Wow, slave to the lender. That's intense.
It frames debt as something that really restricts freedom, a kind of bondage. So it strongly encourages breaking free from that, even if it's little by little.
And trusting God for the consistency to stick with it.
Exactly. Trusting for the perseverance it takes. The source doesn't specify types of debt, but the principle seems to apply to any debt that feels like a burden.
Okay. That verse definitely puts debt in a different light. What's habit number four? It's about saving, right?
Yes, but it frames it specifically. Save for purpose, not panic.
So the motivation matters again, not just hoarding cash out of fear.
Right. Saving is presented as wisdom, as prudent planning, not as anxiety-driven stockpiling. It actually uses that ancient example from Genesis, Joseph.
Joseph in Egypt.
Yeah. How he saved grain during the years of great abundance, specifically to prepare for the coming famine that he knew was predicted.
So wise preparation based on foresight.
Exactly. Saving with a purpose, guided by wisdom.
That's a great illustration. Okay. And the fifth habit.
Give regularly.
We talked about generosity being a component of wisdom, so this is putting it into practice.
Right. And the source emphasizes that even giving small amounts regularly serves as a powerful reminder.
A reminder of what?
That ultimately God is your source, not your job, not your bank balance, not your own efforts alone. It's an act of worship and trust, acknowledging where everything comes from.
Give first, avoid impulse buys, pay down debt, save purposefully, give regularly. That's a pretty clear action plan.
It provides concrete steps. And the source doesn't just leave it at principles and habits. It also includes a couple of stories, like real-life examples.
Oh, nice. Illustrations help make it real. What are they?
Yeah, two short ones. The first is about a woman named Karen, a single mom, the source says, who is really just making ends meet paycheck to paycheck.
Okay.
But she decided to start tithing, giving 10% from the little she had. She started trusting God with that and also got really intentional about planning every single dollar, budgeting carefully.
That takes faith, especially when things are tight. What happened? What results does the source mention?
Well, according to the source, within about 6 months, her car was completely paid off. She had managed to build up an emergency fund.
Wow.
And get this, she was actually starting to help other people learn how to budget. Mentoring them.
That's amazing. It shows it's not just for people who already have a lot.
Exactly. It's about applying the principles of wisdom and trust wherever you are financially.
That's really encouraging. What's the second story?
The second one is about a guy named Brian, a business owner. The source says he was facing pressure to expand his business, and he was tempted by what it calls a shady loan. You know, maybe quick money, but with bad terms or something.
Okay, a tempting shortcut.
Right. But instead of just jumping at it, he remembered the principles. He paused. He prayed about it. And he decided to wait, to seek clarity rather than rush.
That takes patience, especially when you feel pressure. What was the outcome of him waiting?
Well, the source says it took a few months, but then, unexpectedly, one of his clients actually offered to invest in his business vision.
Really?
Yeah. And apparently with no strings attached, just believing in what he was doing. And the source notes that his business is now debt-free and doing well.
So waiting and trusting led to a better outcome than the quick, potentially problematic loan.
That's the takeaway. The source uses these stories to illustrate its main point.
Yeah.
Combining faith with practical financial wisdom that can lead to really positive long-term impact.
Those examples definitely bring the concepts to life. Okay, so as we kind of wrap up this deep dive, the source brings it back to personal reflection, doesn't it? Back to you, the listener.
It does. It poses some specific questions for you to consider. Like, am I consciously, intentionally including God in my financial planning?
Or is he an afterthought?
Right. And looking honestly at my habits, am I mostly operating out of panic and anxiety or out of thoughtful planning and trust?
That fear versus faith question again.
Mm-hmm. And then maybe the most practical one. What's one small habit, just one thing from this material that I could actually start doing this week? Something that honors both my faith and my finances.
It makes it actionable.
Yeah.
Not overwhelming, just one step.
Exactly. And the source is gentle here too. It emphasizes that this whole process, integrating faith and finances, building trust, developing these habits, it's a journey. It happens step by step.
Nobody gets it perfect overnight.
No.
No.
And it offers this really nice affirming thought to hold on to. I may not have it all figured out, but I trust the one who does.
That acknowledges the struggle, but anchors it in trust.
Yeah, it's about relying on that higher power, even when you're still figuring out the practical details.
Well, this deep dive into the source material certainly suggests that managing money with what it calls godly wisdom is not just, you know, a nice idea, but a really practical path.
Yeah, potentially powerful, aimed at bringing maybe more peace, more purpose into an area of life that causes a lot of stress for people.
It definitely offers a way to move beyond that awkwardness or tension between money and faith that we started with.
Offering concrete ways to bring them together, hopefully for, you know, long-term well-being.
So here's maybe a final thought to chew on, building on what this source presents. If managing money with this kind of integrated wisdom and trust really does impact not just your own security or peace of mind, but also, as those stories hinted, your capacity for generosity, maybe your ability to influence or help others, what could that really integrated approach mean, not just for your own bank account, but maybe for your wider community, or even for what you feel called to do in the world?
That definitely takes it beyond just personal finance. A significant question to ponder.
Something to sit with. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.